Amen. What a great way to celebrate Christmas morning, being at church, honoring and worshiping Jesus together. You know, we know the story of Christmas. We all know why we are here. Later, we will see the kids from our kids' church do their version of the Christmas story. But if I had to choose one verse that describes this event that is Christmas, I would choose this verse found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 verse 14, where it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Christmas is the day we celebrate, the day that the Word became flesh to dwell among us. The day Jesus was revealed to mankind. It is that day in history that we saw the fulfillment of the promise of God to mankind, to his people. You know, throughout history, God's people were promised a Savior. They were waiting for their Messiah. And Christmas is the fulfillment of that promise from God to his people. I thank God for this day. Amen. If not for this day, we would still be lost and without hope. As the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Christmas is the day that he gave, where we saw the fulfillment of that promise that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. So today I want to look at how we can, through the story of Christmas, to the reality of Christmas, be reminded of some truths about God and our relationship with him. How we can have confidence in these truths as we journey and navigate through our own lives. And I'm going to give you four Christmas reminders, four realities that you and I can be reminded of as we celebrate Christmas. Firstly, the first reminder for you and I this Christmas is our God is a promise-keeping, a covenant-keeping God. Like I said, the promise of the coming Messiah has been since the beginning. I started by saying today is the day of the fulfillment of God's promise to mankind. God fulfills his promise to his people. So this promise has been from the beginning, from the book of Genesis, from that point in the garden when man fell. God promised that there will be someone who will come, the seed of the woman who was going to crush the head of the serpent representing the devil. Then the book of Isaiah, written 700 years before the birth of Jesus, prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, as Pastor Donald read those scriptures earlier, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And again in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David," even talking about the line that he would come from, the line of King David, "and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." There were close to 300 prophecies relating to the coming of Jesus, to his life, what he will accomplish during his time on earth. And people were waiting for the fulfillment of these prophecies. They were reading these prophecies. They were reading all these promises that were given to them in the scrolls, in the scriptures. And they were waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. You know, some people may have read these promises and brushed it all off as fairy tales. A virgin will be with child? That's rubbish. Doesn't happen. He will be God with us? No way. What do you mean God with us? His kingdom will have no end? No such thing. Every kingdom, man established kingdom from the beginning of time has come to an end. Then there may have been some who may have given up hope because they have been waiting and waiting for the fulfillment of the promise and they were not seeing it come to pass yet. Maybe they were thinking, maybe we got this wrong. Maybe these verses were not meant for us. Maybe God changed his mind. You know, today some of you may be in that position, even as you're seated here, because you have been waiting on a promise, on a word from God that you have received, on the fulfillment of the prophecy, but time has passed and you've not seen that breakthrough yet. You've not seen that prophecy fulfilled. The word has not yet come to pass in your life. And because of that, maybe you're starting to rewrite the story. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe it wasn't meant for me. Maybe God has changed his mind. Or maybe God doesn't fulfill his promise. Maybe all of this is rubbish. But this Christmas, I want you to know that at the story of Christmas, in the story of Christmas, it has at its core the story of God's faithfulness. This Christmas reminds us, this Christmas story reminds us that our God is a covenant-keeping, a promise-keeping God. He is not a man, as the scripture says, that he should lie. He is faithful and he will do what he said he would do. And the fact that Israel was under the Roman occupation doesn't change that. The fact that Mary was a virgin doesn't change that. The fact that there were shut doors doesn't change that. At the right time, God fulfilled his promise like he said he would. A virgin was with child. That sign was given as promised 700 years before. Unto us a child was born and a son was given as he promised. From the line of David, just like he said, to whom the Messiah will come. He is called God with us, just as God said he would be called. And even today for you and me, he is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, just as God promised he would be. Our God is a promise-keeping God. He is a covenant-keeping God. And may you be reminded this morning that he is your promise-keeping God. Your covenant-keeping God. And we too can, as the scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Christmas is a reminder of the faithfulness of God. Don't give up on that promise. Maybe you've been waiting. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you haven't seen it come to pass yet. Maybe you look around you and it doesn't seem possible. The circumstances around you is not conducive. There seems to be shut doors. The things that are going on in your own life is not conducive to seeing the promise being fulfilled. But do not let go of the word, because he who promised is faithful. You may be looking at that promise now, at that prophecy now, and thinking, you know, that's impossible. That's not going to happen. Mary had that same thought when she was told about the miracle child. How can this come to pass? How can this happen? I know not a man. Basically saying, I do not have the right qualifications. Or I do not have the right circumstances to see this happen. Yet the angel says to her, with God, nothing is impossible. And I want to declare that over you right now, this morning. Even as you look at the circumstances that are before you, even as you look at the obstacles that are before you, even as you look at the challenges that are before you, even as you look at those shut doors standing in the way of your promise, I want to declare to you, as the angel declared to Mary all those years ago, with God, nothing is impossible. Come on, give Jesus a clap offering. There was a man called Simeon. He received a promise that he would not see death until he sees the Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it reads, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And it says next, that day, everybody say that day. The Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." That day, as you have promised. The promise he received seemed impossible, that he won't die until he sees the Messiah, and he was already very, very old. He may have already given up on that idea, maybe thinking, maybe I got it wrong, maybe I heard wrong, maybe I read the word wrong, or maybe God changed his mind. He may have thought that he would not see the fulfillment of the promise, but that day, he was led by the Spirit to the temple. That day, he woke up in the morning, Mr. Old Simeon, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to go to the temple today. I'm going to show up in church today. I don't think I've got much time left. I'm just going to go to the temple today. That day happened to be that day that Joseph and Mary came to dedicate baby Jesus. That day, God showed Simeon that he is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. And Simeon says, "You have fulfilled your promise just as you said you would." Maybe you haven't seen that day yet, but I want to assure you this morning that because your God is faithful, because he is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God, that day is coming. The day of fulfillment is coming. The day of your deliverance is coming. The day of your breakthrough is coming. Do not let go of the promise. Do not go to unbelief. Don't lose hope. Don't let go of faith, because he who promised is faithful. That day is coming. Come on, tap the person next to you and say, "That day is coming." So that's the first reminder. The same God who fulfills his promise, as promised in Scripture, that fulfills his promise that we celebrate Christmas today, is the same God that will fulfill his promise to you, because he is a promise-keeping God. Amen. The second reminder is this. It says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew also quotes this scripture as he writes about the birth of Jesus. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. That's the second reminder that I want you to lay hold of this morning. He is still Emmanuel. God is still with us. The story of Christmas is a reminder that you and I always have God with us. He was described as Emmanuel then to the prophet Isaiah, and then again as the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream. Jesus, when he walked the earth, was God with us. But the reality of Emmanuel was not restricted to a point in history more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus, before his time on earth was done, promised us this. John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these disciples, to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Today, as you and I, as we celebrate Christmas, we can be reminded that God is still with us. He was Emmanuel then. He is still Emmanuel today. And as you go through life, as you face all those challenges, as you go into the new year and face all those things that will come your way, those struggles, those challenges or those barriers that are in your way, you must be reminded that you do not face them alone. You can face those things, you can face 2025 with confidence because you do not face them alone. You have with you on this journey that same storm coming, dead raising, sick healing, demon terrorizing, sin cleansing, miracle working, death defeating Jesus. Even till the end of days, he said he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is why you're going to make it. That is why you are going to overcome. That is why no weapon formed against you will prosper. That is why you shall not fear though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is why you will endure and you will be able to do all things because as the scripture says, through Christ who gives you strength. God is with you on this journey. You are always going to be in the position of the majority, no matter what you face, who you're facing, whatever's coming against you, you and God are the majority. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. God is with you. Let this Christmas remind you that the promise of Emmanuel is alive and well for you and I today. Any situation that you face, anything that you step into, the moment you step into that situation, God is there. You've brought God into the situation. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen? How can you face a situation and lose when God is with you in that situation? And the third point, the third reminder is this, from the Christmas story, be reminded that God is not limited by you. You know, the story of Christmas is unlike any other. The King of Kings chose to be born in a manger. You know, Pastor Debbie shared a great word the week before about the God of the stables. The revelation of God, the fulfillment of the promise of the Savior did not happen in a grand palace or a luxurious setting or in the most perfect or holiest of conditions that most would have expected. Jesus was born in a humble manger. Luke chapter 2 verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And if I go down to verse 12, it says, and this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. The angel said, this will be the sign. This is a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth in a manger. That was the sign. That was the proof that these shepherds were encountering God. The proof was the humility of the conditions in which he would be found. They would not find God in perfect settings, not in the cleanest settings, not in the holiest of settings, but in a humble manger. Let me tell you what else you can find in a manger. You'll find flies in a manger. What else can you find in a manger? Dirt. There'll be lots of dirt in the manger. What else? Cow dung. Cow dung, sheep dung, and all kinds of other dungs. You will find unpleasant smells in a manger. Noisy animals in a manger. Yet among all of that, God was revealed. Yet even in that condition, these shepherds had an encounter with Jesus because God was there. Today, let this story of Christmas remind us that God is not limited by our limitations. He's not restricted by your struggles, by the dirt and the dung in your life. It doesn't scare God away. It does not keep him away. God is not looking for the most perfect and the holiest and the cleanest. He's not looking for a qualified heart. He's only looking for an open and a willing heart. There was an inn that would have been ideal for the birth of Jesus. There was no room in that inn. The door was shut. All that was open to Jesus was a humble stable. And there, in that unpleasant condition, Jesus was born. God was revealed to mankind. Today, you and I, too, can encounter Jesus. Maybe you're thinking about the dung in your life. Maybe you're thinking about the skeletons in your closet. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know what, but I'm so unclean. How can I even imagine encountering Jesus in my condition? How can I even expect to encounter Jesus with the kind of life I have, with the conditions of my own heart and my soul? But the story of Christmas is a reminder to us that God is willing to meet you where you are. Not because you're good enough, not because you're worthy enough, not because you're clean enough, but because you're willing enough to make space for him in your heart, right where you are. But I'm in a bad space. God didn't say to you that if you're in a bad space, he didn't say to mankind, if you're in a bad space, I'm not coming. But I've got messes in my life. He didn't promise mankind that he'd only come into the cleanest and purest of hearts and lives. But I haven't got my life together, my act together. I'm still struggling with certain things. I like in the book of Isaiah how he calls out to his people. He says, though your sin is like scarlet, red like scarlet, though it's so stained, he says, come to me and I will make it white as snow. Most of us think we need to make ourselves white as snow before we come to Jesus. But Jesus is saying, come to me. He is your salvation. And he is also your solution. By our own strength, we will not be able to accomplish the standards, the right standards to attain to that level where we can boldly stand before God. Paul writes, he says, the good I want to do, I do not do. And the evil I do not want to do, I end up doing. He writes about that struggle that all of us have, that mankind has. And then he ends that verse with, who will deliver me from this body of death? And said, thank God, Christ Jesus, our hope of glory. Amen. He is your salvation, but he's also your solution. He's not looking for qualified hearts. He's just looking for willing hearts. And he's willing to meet you right where you are. This Christmas, be reminded that it was never about the goodness or worthiness of man, but it was about the willingness of a Savior. Are you willing to open that door? Are you willing to give your heart to Jesus? Are you willing to say to him, God, here I am. It's not much, it's broken, but what I have, I give to you. Come into my life. And he will meet you there. Amen. And the final reminder from the story of Christmas. Christmas is Jesus' first coming on the earth. But Christmas should also remind us of his second coming. Just as there were scriptures and promises in scripture that promised the coming of Jesus, there are scriptures and promises in scripture that point to the second coming. He is coming again. And just like the dozens of scriptures pointing to his first coming was fulfilled, because God is a promise-keeping God, the scriptures that point to his second coming will also be fulfilled for that exact same reason. He is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. "So also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly wait for him." Luke chapter 21, verse 26. "People will be terrified in what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. And when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." You know, you may listen to this and think, you know, all of this sounds ridiculous. Jesus coming again in the clouds, the archangel, we'll be caught up. It all sounds like some bad anime cartoon. That's the same way some people would have thought, reading the scriptures in Isaiah all those years ago. Of course, they didn't have anime cartoons back then. But they would have thought, "Ah, this is, doesn't sound. A virgin will be with child. He'll be God with us. It sounds ridiculous." But here we are, thousands of years later, celebrating the fulfillment of those ridiculous sounding scriptures. Our God is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. Jesus will come again. Let this Christmas story of his first coming cause us to be reminded that there is a second coming. And when that day comes, we want to be ready to receive him. We do not want to be like that innkeeper who's so caught up with his own life and things that are going on and shut the door to Jesus. We want to be, even if our lives is like that manger right now, it's a mess, we want to have our lives open to Jesus. We want to have our lives open, say, "Lord, come into our lives." We want to open our hearts to receive him. We can't be received by him if we don't open our hearts to receive him as Lord of our lives. So going back to my third reminder, he will meet you there. And maybe that's you this morning. Like I said, maybe you're looking at your own life and you've been going through so much. Someone dragged you to church this morning. And maybe my voice is a reminder to you from God this morning. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I am ready to come into your life. Are you ready to to open your heart to me.